I'm inviting Pastor Ben Patterson up. Pastor Ben, where are you? Come here. And I just want to say this. This guy has written two books. Are they a Christian fiction? Is that what you'd call them? Well, they're not a demonic fiction. Okay. Like a fairy tale, okay. So I'm going to get him to just tell you a little bit about those and then tell you about his book launch that's coming up today. So you can be a part of that if you want to be. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. Thanks for that little plug. I have written some novels. They are not fairy tales. There is some Christian theme somewhere in there. They're actual medieval fantasy because I had a rule. I never read books during school. I only read books for assignments and things like that. I wasn't a reader. But at the age of 18, I went over a friend's place. I saw this book and I opened it up and had a map in the front, you know, of this imaginary world they'd made up. And my imagination was captured. And so I had a rule then. From then on, I read that book. I loved it. I read the whole series. I have a rule. If the book doesn't have a map at the front, I don't really want to read it. That's just the way. So my books have maps in the front of a world that I've made up. And it's my second novel in a series. And yeah, I am having a book launch today after church down at John Breen Park. It's a picnic, BYO takeaway lunch. So you've all got no plans the rest of the day. Come on down. You don't even have to buy a book. Just come and have lunch with us down at the park. We're just having a bit of a celebration for the launch. And my son is going to be a lolly man. I went to a church picnic when I was a kid, and there was a lolly man. I always remembered it. And I haven't seen a lolly man in action for a while. Have we had lolly men in Mackay? We have? Really? No, I didn't get invited. That's all right. So my son wants as many little kids there to tackle him. And I bought my wife some flannel pajamas a long time ago. She never wore them, so she's sewn all these lollies into them. There you go, that's just what happened. All right, well, come on down. I'd love to see you there. If you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 21. I'm going to read soon from verse 15. The title of my message this morning is, I Don't Love You Like That. And Ramel, you shouldn't laugh at me like that. That can be a devastating phrase to hear, depending on the context that it's said. These lights are bright today. I feel like being blinded. Maybe you've had that phrase said to you, I don't love you like that. You know, you plucked up the courage to tell someone exactly how you feel, and they said back to you that, that's great. I love you. We're like friends, you know. Like, you're my friend. You're like my brother, my sister in the Lord, you know. Like, and you, of course, said, well, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, did you think, no. That's awkward. No. of course, you know. I obviously never had that said to me, but I do know how you feel if you've been through that traumatic experience, because at the moment, Ramel, I love you, you know, and I don't know if it's being reciprocated. He is so handsome. Does anyone think he's real handsome? Like, the olive skin, the musical talent, the puns. I messaged Ramel yesterday. I didn't get a message back. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just not sure it's coming back my way, so I know how you feel. Anyway, you'll see what I mean with the title as we get into the message. I'm going to read from John chapter 21, verse 15 says, when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, don't be confused by the name Simon. Simon, it's Peter. You know, Peter the disciple. Original name Simon. Jesus changed it to Peter, but obviously using it interchangeably. And this is a famous conversation in the last chapter of John. Well, second to last chapter of John, one of those. And three times he asked him if he loves him, and Peter confirms on three times. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But as you see, as we get into it, Peter is kind of saying to Jesus, I don't love you like that. And I'll explain what I mean in a moment. But first, a little bit of context. This conversation doesn't happen in a vacuum. If you know Peter, Peter's probably the most famous disciple, along with John, the most famous apostle out of the 12. He's known for being the loud guy, the brave guy, the boaster, the striver. When everyone else is too scared to do something, it seems to be always Peter who sticks his hand up to say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to give this a go. He's always out in front, he's like the leader. But Peter is, we like to throw off at him, we like to laugh at him. He seems to always be putting his foot in his mouth. But there is a pattern of behavior with Peter. And you can see in the scriptures where he does always seem to be trying to do more even than what Jesus asks sometimes. Like he's always trying to prove himself, always trying to get recognition or something. I don't want to psychoanalyze the guy. It's hard to know what was going in his heart, but we can see from his behavior there is something going on. I think of the time at the Mount Transfiguration when Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain. And they see Jesus be transfigured. They hear a voice from heaven. It's Peter who pipes up and said, Lord, it's good that we were here today. Let me build an altar. Let me build a shelter for Moses, for Elijah, and for you. And Jesus' response is, no, Peter, just calm down. Like, we don't need that. Let's move on. I think of the time when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And Jesus is, get the picture, he's going around the circle, comes to Peter. Peter says, no, Jesus, you will never wash my feet. It should be me who's washing your feet. You know, like, always just going too far, you know, like, I'm going to do this for you. You shouldn't be washing my feet. And Jesus says to him, Peter, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. You'd think that'd be enough to quieten him down, but Peter still has a response. Well then, don't just wash my feet, wash everything. Again, Jesus says, Peter, just calm down, all right? Just relax, okay? Just settle. And then the most famous, which leads us into this kind of conversation, is when Peter denies Christ three times. And we know that Jesus is there with his disciples and he's telling him all the bad things that are going to happen. And he says, and you are all going to leave me. And it's Peter who's recorded as standing up and saying, Jesus, even though all may be made to stumble, I will not stumble. Yeah? They will, but you can count on me, I won't. And Jesus says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. And Peter's response, you can just write this down. This is gold in the Bible. Jesus, I will die before I deny you. Famous last words, yeah? I will die before I deny you. Everyone else is going to fail, not me. So the story goes that Jesus is taken away, and as he's arrested, again, it's Peter who stands in front of Jesus with his sword and cuts the servant ears off, and Jesus has to say, settle down, Peter. All right, this is what I prophesied is going to happen. Settle down. So Jesus is before the Sanhedrin. He's on trial. Peter is, I don't think Peter's the scared coward that we think he is. Peter's there at the trial. Peter's following along. But the Bible says that there's a maid of one of the priests or someone who's at the door and says, Peter, says to Peter, you're one of his people. You're one of his disciples. I've seen you with him. What's Peter say? What? No. Wrong. Not me. You've obviously need your eyes checked. OPSM. Not me. You've got the wrong person. Sorry. Move on. What are you, an NRL ref? Not me, okay? Next, Peter's warming himself around a coal fire. That's interesting. John says it's a coal fire, not a fire, a coal fire. And Peter's there warming himself, and somebody says, you. I've seen you. I know who you are. You're one of his disciples. It's you, yeah? That we know you. We've seen you before. Peter says, incorrect. The lighting's bad, the fire, the flames flickering off my face. Obviously, I look like the guy. It's not me. The Bible says he denies with an oath that it's not him. I do not know this Jesus person. Third time, somebody says, you, it is definitely you. You are his disciple. You're one of his followers. The Bible says Peter curses. It's almost saying, God, strike me down if I'm lying, yeah? I do not know him. I'm not his friend. I have nothing to do with him. It's not me. The Bible says, as he's that third time denying him, the rooster crows. He must be close enough to Jesus because John says that Jesus looks at Peter and they kind of lock eyes at that moment. The rooster crows and Peter knows what he's done, yeah? Three times. He's denied Christ. I don't know if you just put yourself in his shoes at that moment, like how you feel. The Bible says he leaves and he weeps bitterly. When's the last time you wept bitterly? For me, it was State of Origin 2 at the Faith Center. I don't know, I might have to rename that. State of Origin 2. I wept bitterly that night. But Peter weeps bitterly. That is the last recorded interaction we have between Peter and Jesus before Jesus dies. How do you feel if you're Peter? Like your whole identity has been made up of the person who doesn't fail. The person who everyone else will stumble, but I won't. You've just let the Son of God down. You've just let your best friend down. You've just let the person who changed your life down. The last thing that they heard you say before they died was that you don't know them. You've nothing to do with them. You're not their friend, yeah? How do you feel if you're Peter? How low do you feel? I don't think you feel that good, to be honest. Yeah? It's not good. This leads us into this conversation with Jesus and Peter, where he's denied him three times, and Jesus asks again, do you love me three times? But it's interesting that this conversation happens around a coal fire. The Bible says that the disciples were out fishing all night. They didn't catch nothing. Jesus is on the shoreline. They didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus says, throw your net the other side, and they catch a lot of fish, and I love it how John recognizes and says, hey, that's Jesus. Peter, normal, typical Peter, jumps off the boat and swims ashore and leaves all the other disciples to haul in the fish on their own, yeah? He's just so excited, he jumps off, he swims ashore. The Bible says Jesus is on the shore and he's made a coal fire. And John says coal fire. See, John only uses the term coal fire twice in all his gospel. One is to describe the fire that Peter was around as he was denying Christ, and the only other coal fire in the whole gospel is the one that Jesus makes and he cooks some fish on as he's about to have this conversation with Peter. It's like Jesus is deliberate, yeah? Like he knows what he's doing. The same scene in which you denied me, I'm setting up that scene again and we're going to have a conversation here together. And just as an aside, it's always interesting to me that just about every time Jesus appears after he's risen from the dead, he's eating. Like, how hungry did he get in those 3 days? I don't know, but it's like he's making up for lost time. He loves food. First thing he says to them when they get off that boat is, bring me some of those fish. Come on, I've got the fire going. And he's eating again. Anyway, it's just interesting to me. So there we go. We're at this fire. Jesus takes Peter aside and says, hey, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now you'd think that's nice. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. But I discovered something when I was reading the Amplified Bible. I like to read the Amplified Bible because it's louder. And I was discovered something, and I thought I was the first to discover it. You know when you get like a revelation from God, or you discover something in the Bible, and you're all excited, you think, wow, bet you nobody's ever noticed this before, right? Well, after lots of, you know, research and Googling, I found out I'm about the 865,000 person in history to discover it. But for me, it spoke to me at the time, and I want to share it with you this morning because I feel like God spoke to me out of it. You see, Jesus and Peter are not talking about the same thing in this conversation. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? He uses a Greek word. Well, it's recorded as a Greek word, agape. We all know about agape? Agape in Scripture is used a lot. In fact, agape is often called the highest form of love. I'm not sure that's true. I believe all love is the right form in the right context. But agape, they didn't really know what agape was until the Bible was written. It's not really a word that was used before the Bible. We only really know what it is because of its use in Scripture. It's a love best described in God's will and His devotion toward us. And so they didn't really have that before the Bible was written, and it wasn't really used much outside that. But agape is used a lot of times in the New Testament. For God so loved the world, that's for God so agape the world, agapeo, that He gave His only begotten Son. See, agapeo is intentional. It's an act of the will. It's a decision that I've made apart from you. You don't have to deserve it. It's not dependent upon you. It's me, out of my nature, out of my will, I've decided that I'm going to love you. There's nothing you can do about it, yeah? It's selfless, deliberate, intentional love. God so loved the world, we didn't deserve it, we didn't do anything, but He's agape'd us that He's given His only begotten Son. Does that make sense to everyone this morning? It says, greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. That word is agape. That's why sometimes it's called the highest form of love, because the Bible says that greater love, greater agape has no one than this, to lay one's life down for their friends. The Bible says to agape your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Corinthians 13, that famous love chapter, the word it uses is agape. It says agape is patient, agape is kind, agape keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah, agape always hopes, it always trusts, it always that's the word it's using. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, you know, kindness, gentleness. It's also agape. The more of the Spirit in your life, the more that kind of love flows out of you towards people who don't even deserve it, who haven't done anything to earn it from you, but it's just that the Spirit is filling you so much that this kind of love, does this make sense? It comes out of you. The greatest commandment says to agape the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. That's agape love. This is the love that Jesus says to Peter. Do you agape me more than these? Peter's response is, yes, Lord. Well, that's what he's basically saying. Are you more devoted, intentional, and selfless in your love for me than the other disciples? That's what he's saying. Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. That's not the same word. It's kind of not what he was asking. That word is, that's the verb, I think. The noun, I think, is like philia. You might know that word. Have you heard of Philadelphia? That's the city of brotherly love. This word is brotherly love. It's friendship. It's personal affection for someone, like a close friend or a brother. See, That word in Scripture is used as well in different places. The Bible says to love one another with brotherly affection. That's not agape one another. That says that's phileo one another with brotherly affection. When it talks about Jesus' love for Lazarus, you know how Jesus wept for Lazarus? John 11, the shortest verse in the Bible. You always hope that that's going to be the memory verse that week when you're in Sunday school so you can get the lolly. To see how Jesus phileo him. It also says that the Father phileos the Son. See, he doesn't just agape the Son, but he has a deep personal relationship with the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. That's what I say. People say agape is the greatest form of love. Well, phileo is just as legitimate as agape, depending on the context in the situation. If in my marriage all I had was agape love for my wife, it'd be a very bland, vanilla marriage. We also have friendship. We also have connection, yeah? We also have other forms of love as well. We don't just agape one another. We have that as well, yeah? And so we go back to that first question. Jesus says, do you agape? Are you more devoted and intentional and selfless in your love for me than the other disciples? Peter says, you know what, Lord? You know that I have a deep personal affection for you like a friend or a brother. Jesus' response is, feed my lambs. Jesus asked the second time, Peter, do you agape me? This time he leaves off more than these, but he just says, are you devoted, intentional, and selfless in your love for me? Peter responds, Jesus, you know I have a deep personal affection for you, like a friend or a brother. He uses the word phileo again. That's a weird conversation, isn't it? Jesus, the third time, says, Peter, do you phileo me? Well, hang on, he's just told him twice, yeah? Jesus says, okay, you don't want to say the word that I'm saying it. You're saying you don't love me like that. Let's get on the same page here. Third time, do you phileo me? Peter says, Bible says on the third time he was cut to the heart that Jesus would ask him the third time. He says, yes, you can see my heart. I can't hide from you. I am your friend and your brother. Now, was he cut to the heart because Jesus asked him three times or because on the third time he used the different word? I don't know. I don't know how significant it all is. Some people think that this is just John making the story interesting with different words. I disagree because I think the Bible is inerrant. I believe every little thing is important in the Bible and God can use all scripture. It's God-breathed for instruction and for building up. Is this making sense? I believe so. So maybe he's upset that he asked three times. Maybe he's upset that the third time he used a different word. Maybe it's both. But on the third time, Jesus says, are you really my friend and brother? He says, you know all things. I can't hide from you. I am your friend and brother. Well, what does this all mean? What are these two talking about? I reckon there's a couple of things that speak to me out of this interaction. Number one, Peter's changed, yeah? The boaster can't boast anymore. The guy who said, I will never leave you, everyone else will deny you, but I won't. Everyone else will stumble, but I won't. He's given a chance to boast. Do you agape me more than these? And he says, sorry, I can't say that. I used to think that I did. The old Peter would have said, you know it, yeah? These people, of course I do. But something's changed in Peter's heart, yeah? He says, you know what, Jesus? I'm your friend and your brother. Well, do you agape me at all? Are you selfless in your love for me? Are you devoted? Are you committed? Are you intentional? Are you constant? Is your love for me unconditional? Is it the highest form of love? Jesus, I used to think so. I used to think I would never let you down. I used to think that you could count on me 100%, that I was top of the pops. But I can't say that anymore. I think Peter's changed. There's been some reality. There's been some humility. There's been a change in his life. The boasting has ceased. And now there's an acknowledgement that I'm human and my love's not as good as your love. And I'm just as broken as the rest of these guys. All I can say is, Jesus, is that I love you. I do love you. Like a close friend. You're my closest friend. That's all I can say. Peter's changed. And I think it's a good change. The second thing that I get out of this interaction is that Jesus links it on all three occasions to Peter's calling, Peter's ministry. Every time Jesus says, "Do you love me?" and Peter has that response, Jesus says something like, "Feed my lambs," or "Tend my sheep," or "Feed my sheep." Again, it's a little different every time. I'm trying to get the Holy Spirit to speak to me about that, but it's not. I don't have that for you today, so you'll have to go and pray that. What are you laughing at, Claire? Has he told you? Do you want? Okay, all right. He links it to his calling. See, maybe for you and the assignment that God has for you and the calling that God has for you, maybe it's not all about how amazing your love is for him and how much you agapeo him and how intentional and selfless and constant your love is and you being perfect all the time and you striving and like was shared in the communion today for him. Maybe that's nice, but maybe that's not required as much as you think it's required. Maybe your call and what God has for you might come out of more of a deep personal affection and relationship with God, more than how much you do for him, more than how much you don't stuff up, or more than how many hours you can log up in your prayer diary and how many times you can attend church and how much you give in the offering. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe God's plan for your life and God's will for your life and all the things he has for you is going to work more out of just a personal relationship with him than it is more than what you do for him. Is this making sense? Agape is good, but phileo is great. Relationship is great. Friendship is great. All those other things are good. It's church attendance and giving and praying and reading your Bible and all those things, but sometimes we can do all those things in his name and he can go, "I don't know you. I don't know you." Doesn't the Bible say that many are going to come to him on the last day? Say, "Didn't I heal the sick in your name and cast demons out in your name? Didn't I do this and didn't I do that?" And what's he going to say? "I don't know you. I don't know you." So maybe there shouldn't be as much pressure on ourselves to strive and live up to. Maybe there should be less of the old Peter in our relationship with God and more of the new Peter in our relationship with God. Don't get me wrong, all those things are great. I'm at church as much as, if I'm not working, I'm at church, you know? If I'm giving, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, but I'm not doing it anymore out of a spirit of, "I need to, I must, or there's going to be guilt in my life." That's not a relationship that God wants. I'm not doing it so that I can be seen to be doing it and posting it on Instagram every day with a photo of my Bible and the devotion and the pen and the... I don't have Instagram, say. But apparently that's what happens on Instagram. Do people do that? They do. All right. Kane's taking a photo now. Maybe even your call, even that assignment God has for you is going to come based more of a personal relationship than what we do. Can I get the worship team back? And the third thing that strikes me is it's just how good Jesus is. You see, Jesus knows what he's doing here. Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus, in this conversation, is restoring Peter, not just forgiving Peter. There is a difference between forgiveness and restoration. Sometimes you can know you're forgiven and yet not be restored. And Jesus wants to come into your life and restore, not just forgive. You see, forgiveness is about having your debts released. We've all done things and have required forgiveness and need our debts released. Amen. Praise God for that. But for you to move forward into God's plan for your life, into his heavenly assignment, for you to complete the good works he has in advance for you, you need more than just forgiveness. You need restoration. See, restoration is about your calling. Restoration is about your place and position. Restoration is about your future. You can be forgiven sometimes and yet still feel like, well, because of what I've done, because of the sin, even though I know I'm forgiven, even though I know I'm going for heaven, I can really just give up on all those promises, yeah? Maybe that's how Peter felt. Maybe Peter knew that Jesus forgave him. Maybe Peter knew that Jesus still loved him. But maybe Peter was in that position right then thinking, well, because of what I've done, I'm just happy to be here in his presence, and that's all there is for me now. But Jesus is saying, no, Peter, that's not what's going to happen here. I'm telling you, you need to feed my sheep. I'm telling you there's still a call on your life. I'm telling you I've still got plans for your life. I'm telling you I've still got dreams and visions and an assignment for you to complete. Go out, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, yeah? That's restoration. Sometimes what's holding us back from completing our heavenly assignment is not what other people have done to us, it's what we know we've done. Amen? It's what we know we have done. And we need not just forgiveness, we need restoration. In God's plan, Jesus here is an example of just the master at work. The master at work. Taking someone aside at the scene of the crime, around that fire, says, Peter, I know what you did. I was there. I heard it. I predicted it. I knew you were going to do it before you were going to do it. I'm here to tell you today, you're not disqualified. You're not put aside. You're not to stay in the corner for the rest of your life. I've got something for you to do. And from this day forward, I'm commissioning you again. You need to go and do it. Is that making sense to anyone this morning? Why don't you stand with me just for a moment? God is in the business of restoration. Not just the business of forgiveness. Both are great. Both are great. But he's a restorer. Maybe there's some people here today, maybe you feel like you missed the boat. Maybe you feel like you let your chance slip. Maybe you feel like you've been disqualified or set aside. I tell you what, that's not my Jesus that you're listening to. That's your mind being infected with the systems of the world. That's your mind being infected with the enemy's thoughts. Well, we need our mind renewed. We need our mind renewed today. His ways are different to your ways. He operates differently. And he restores. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for the people in the house today. We thank you for the heavenly assignments, for the giftings, for the callings. God, we're praying for a release this morning. For a release this morning. Lord, release visions and dreams. will release assignments, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we come against the thoughts of this world, Lord, that have affected our faith, that have affected our hope. Lord, that have tried to steal it, that have tried to suppress it. We deny that. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. Lord, show us your truth. Show us the reality of your character, who you really are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you this morning, Lord. We look to you this morning. We want you to speak to us. God, not just to our minds, but to our hearts. Lord, I pray against heavy hearts in this place. Lord, hearts that are carrying around burdens. Burdens even from own actions. Burdens of regret and own decisions. Lord God, we pray for a lifting of those by your Spirit. Lord, something that only you can do. Lord, for a light heart. Light heart full of joy and hope this morning, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't even know that's on your life. But there's regret there. There's disappointment in yourself there. And sometimes we can find it easier to forgive others than we do to forgive ourselves. I want to break that off your life this morning. I want to throw that into the pit of hell this morning, where it belongs. That's not a godly thing on your life. That's not a godly thing in your life. That's the thing that's trying to pull you back like a piece of elastic wrapped around your ankle, tying you to things of the past. We want that to snap in the name of Jesus. We want that to snap. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, against those thoughts. Lord, against those thoughts. Lord, people that have been waking up at night thinking about things of the past, Lord God. People that when they're confronted with new opportunities, Lord, there's voices in the back of their mind reminding them of who they really are, reminding them of what they've done. Lord God, we break that in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that your voice becomes so clear. Lord, one word from you, Lord, can break those chains. In Jesus' name this morning. Everybody said.
Thanks, Ben. One of the titles given to Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And you know, we make mistakes. And the reason we make mistakes is because we're human. And we're living in an imperfect world. And then we think God can't forgive us. And he can't continue to love us. But I want to tell you, that's a lie. He does love you. And when Peter said, when Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? I think he was including in that, do you love me more than your own self-condemnation? Can you trust my love? I want to encourage you this morning, if something in this message has touched you, challenged you in some way, Pastor Ben, Pastor Kane will be here to pray with you if you want to come. As we conclude our service, we're going to worship one more time with this song to the King, and then we're going to conclude. Please come and have tea and coffee with us, but you've got the opportunity for prayer. Okay? Thanks. Back. Separated from you because of something they've said, something they've done, something they have condemned themselves in. I call it off their life this morning and say, let truth prevail. Let the blessing of your revelation come, of the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Altar's open. If you need prayer, come on down. We'll pray with you. Otherwise, come and have tea and coffee. Bless you. Don't forget the book launch starts at 12:30. Come along, bring your lunch with you. That'll be exciting. John Breen Park.